5 years ago. Kaladin hated the weeping. It marked the end of an old year and the coming of a new one. 4 solid weeks of rain in a ceaseless cascade of sullen drops. Never furious, never passionate like a high storm. Slow, steady, like the blood of a dying year that was taking its last few shambling steps toward the cairn. While other seasons of weather came and went unpredictably, the weeping never failed to return at the same time each year, unfortunately. Kaladin lay on the sloped roof of his house in Hearthstone. A small pail of pitch sat next to him, covered by a piece of wood. It was almost empty now that he'd finished patching the roof. The weeping was a miserable time to do this work, but it was also when a persistent leak could be most irritating. They'd repatch when the weeping ended, but at least this way, they wouldn't have to suffer a steady stream of drips onto their dining table for the next weeks. He lay on his back, staring up at the sky. Perhaps he should have climbed down and gone inside, but he was already soaked through, so he stayed, watching, thinking. Another army was passing through the town, one of many these days. They often came during the weeping, resupplying and moving to new battlefields. Rashun had made a rare appearance to welcome the warlord, High Marshal Amaram himself, apparently a distant cousin, as well as head of Alethi Defense in this area. He was one of the most renowned soldiers still in Alethkar. Most had left for the Shattered Plains. The small raindrops misted Kaladin. Many of the others liked these weeks. There were no high storms, save for one right in the middle. To the townspeople, it was a cherished time to rest from farming and relax. But Kaladin longed for the sun and the wind. He actually missed the high storms, with their rage and vitality. These days were dreary, and he found it difficult to get anything productive done, as if the lack of storms left him without strength. Few people had seen much of Rashun since the ill-fated Whitespine hunt and the death of his son. He hid in his mansion, increasingly reclusive. The people of Hearthstone trod very lightly, as if they expected that, at any moment, he could explode and turn his rage against them. Kaladin wasn't worried about that. A storm, whether from a person or the sky, was something you could react to. But this suffocation, this slow and steady dousing of life, that was far, far worse.
Kaladin! Are you still up there?
Yeah.
Tien rounded to the back of the building, where the roof sloped down to touch the ground. He had his hands in the pockets of his long raincoat, a wide-brimmed hat on his head. Both looked too large for him, but clothing always seemed too large for Tien, even when it fit him properly. Kaladin's brother climbed up onto the roof and walked up beside him, then lay down, staring upward. Someone else might have tried to cheer Kaladin up, and they would have failed. But somehow, Tien knew the right thing to do. For the moment, that was keeping silent.
You like the rain, don't you?
Yeah. Hard to stare up at like this, though. I keep blinking.
For some reason, that made Kaladin smile.
I made you something. At the shop today.
Kaladin's parents were worried. Ral, the carpenter, had taken Tien, though he didn't really need another apprentice, and was reportedly dissatisfied with the boy's work. Tien got distracted easily, Ral complained. Kaladin sat up as Tien fished something out of his pocket. It was a small wooden horse, intricately carved.
Well, don't worry about the water. I sealed it already.
Tien, this is beautiful.
The details were amazing. The eyes, the hooves, the lines in the tail. It looked just like the majestic animals that pulled Rashun's carriage.
Did you show this to Rao?
He said it was good, but he told me I should have been making a chair instead. I kind of got into trouble.
But how... I mean, Tien, he's got to see this is amazing.
Oh, I don't know about that. It's just a horse. Master Ra likes things you can use. Things to sit on, things to put clothes in. But I think I can make a good chair tomorrow, something that'll make him proud.
Kaladin looked at his brother with his innocent face and affable nature. He hadn't lost either. though he was now into his teenage years.
How is it you can always smile? It's dreadful outside. Your master treats you like creme, and your family is slowly being strangled by the city lord, and yet you smile. How, Tien? And why is it that you make me want to smile, too?
Father spent another of the spheres, Tien.
Each time their father was forced to do that, he seemed to grow a little more wan, stand a little less tall. Those spheres were done these days, no light in them. You couldn't infuse spheres during the weeping. They all ran out eventually.
Well, there are plenty more.
Rishan is trying to wear us down, bit by bit, smother us.
It's not as bad as it seems, Kaladin. Things are never as bad as they seem. You'll see.
So many objections rose in his mind, but Tien's smile banished them. There, in the midst of the dreariest part of the year, Kaladin felt for a moment as if he had glimpsed sunshine. He could swear he felt things grow brighter around them, the storm retreating a shade, the sky lightening. Their mother rounded the back of the building. She looked up at them as if amused to find them both sitting on the roof in the rain. She stepped onto the lower portion. A small group of Haspers clung to the stone there. The small two-shelled creatures proliferated during the weeping. They seemed to grow out of nowhere, much like their cousins, the tiny snails, scattered all across the stone.
What are you two talking about?
Kaladin's worried about Father spending the spheres.
Oh, I wouldn't worry about that. We'll get you to Cabranth. You'll be old enough to leave in 2 more months.
You two should come with me. And Father, too.
And leave town? But I like it here.
Asina smiled.
What?
Most young men your age are trying everything they can to be rid of their parents.
I can't go off and leave you here. We're a family. He's trying to strangle us. Nobody pays for healing, and I know nobody will pay you for your work anymore. What kind of value does Father get for these spheres he spends anyway? Vegetables at 10 times the regular price? Moldy grain at double?
Observant.
Father taught me to notice details. The eyes of a surgeon.
Well, did your surgeon's eyes notice the first time we spent one of the spheres?
Sure. It was the day after the hunting accident. Father had to buy new cloth to make bandages.
And did we need new bandages?
Well, no. But you know how Father is. He doesn't like it when we start to run even a little low.
And so he spent one of those spheres that he'd hoarded for months and months, butting heads with the city lord over them.
Not to mention going to such lengths to steal them in the first place.
Kaladin glanced at Tien, who was watching the sky again. So far as Cal knew, his brother hadn't discovered the truth yet.
So your father resisted so long, only to finally break and spend a sphere on some cloth bandages we wouldn't need for months.
She has a point. Why would Father suddenly decide to... Oh! He's letting Rishan think he's winning.
Rishan would have found a way to get retribution eventually. It wouldn't have been easy. Your father ranks high as a citizen and has the right of inquest. He did save Rishan's life, and many could testify to the severity of Riller's wounds. But Rishan would have found a way, unless he felt he'd broken us.
Kaladin turned toward the mansion. Though it was hidden by the shroud of rain, he could just make out the tents of the army camped on the field below. What would it be like to live as a soldier, often exposed to storms and rain, to winds and tempests? Once Kaladin would have been intrigued, but the life of a spearman had no call for him now. His mind was filled with the diagrams of muscles and memorized lists of symptoms and diseases.
We'll keep spending the spheres, one every few weeks, partially to live, though my family has offered supplies, more to keep Rishan thinking that we're bending. And then we send you away, unexpectedly. You'll be gone, the spheres safely in the hands of the Ardens to use as a stipend during your years of study.
Kaladin blinked in realization.
We aren't losing. We're winning.
Think of it, Kaladin. You'll live in one of the grandest cities in the world. It'll be so exciting. You'll be a man of learning, like Father. You'll have clerks to read to you from any book you want.
Kaladin pushed wet hair off his forehead. Tien made it sound a lot grander than he'd been thinking. Of course, Tien could make a creme-filled puddle sound grand.
That's true. You could learn mathematics, history, politics, tactics, the sciences.
Aren't those things women learn?
Light-eyed women study them. But there are male scholars as well, if not as many.
All this to become a surgeon.
You wouldn't have to become a surgeon. Your life is your own, son. If you take the path of surgeon, we will be proud. But don't feel that you need to live your father's life for him.
What else would I do?
There are many professions open to men with a good mind and training. If you really wish to study all the arts, you could become an ardent. Or perhaps a storm warden.
Storm warden?
He reached by reflex for the prayer sewn to his left sleeve, waiting for the day he'd need to burn it for aid.
They seek to predict the future.
It's not the same thing. You'll see. There are so many things to explore, so many places your mind could go. The world is changing. My family's most recent letter describes amazing fabrials, like pens that can write across great distances. It might not be long before men are taught to read.
I'd never want to learn something like that. No, I want to be a surgeon, like my father.
If that's what you choose, then, as I said, we will be proud of you. But Father and I just want you to know that you can choose.
They sat like that for some time, letting rainwater soak them. Kaladin kept searching those gray clouds, wondering what it was that Tien found so interesting in them. Liren's face appeared at the side of the house.
What in the... All three of you? What are you doing up there?
Feasting.
On what?
On irregularity, dear.
Dear, you could be very odd, you know.
And didn't I just say that?
Point. Well, come on. There's a gathering in the square.
Hesina frowned. She rose and walked down the slope of the roof. Kaladin glanced at Tien, and the two of them stood. Kaladin stuffed the wooden horse in his pocket and picked his way down carefully on the slick rock. Cool water ran down Kaladin's cheeks as he stepped off onto the ground. They followed Liren toward the square. Kaladin's father looked worried, and he walked with a beaten-down slouch he was prone to lately. Maybe it was an affectation to fool Roshan, but Kaladin suspected there was some truth to it. His father didn't like having to give up those fears, even if it was part of a ruse. It was too much like giving in. Ahead, a crowd was gathering at the town square, everyone holding umbrellas or wearing cloaks.
What is it, Liren?
Roshan is going to put in an appearance. He asked Weber to gather everyone. Full town meeting.
In the rain? Couldn't he have waited for light day?
Liren didn't reply. The family walked in silence, even Tien growing solemn. They passed some rain sprens standing in puddles, glowing with a faint blue light, shaped like ankle-high melting candles with no flame. They rarely appeared except during the weeping. They were said to be the souls of raindrops, glowing blue rods, seeming to melt, but never growing smaller, a single blue eye at their tops. The townspeople were mostly assembled, gossiping in the rain. By the time Kaladin's family arrived, Jost and Nagat were there, though neither waved to Kaladin. It had been years since they'd been anything resembling friends. His parents called this town home, and his father refused to leave, but it felt less and less like home by the day.
I'll be leaving it soon.
He was eager to walk out of Hearthstone and leave these small-minded people behind. To go to a place where light eyes were men and women of honor and beauty, worthy of the high station given them by the Almighty. Roshan's carriage approached. It had lost much of its luster during his years in Hearthstone, the golden paint flaking off, the dark wood chipped by road gravel. As the carriage pulled into the square, Weber and his boys finally got a small canopy erected. The air smelled different with all of these people around. Up on the roof, it had been fresh and clean. Now it seemed muggy and humid. The carriage door opened. Roshan had gained more weight, and his light eyes suit had been retailored to fit his increased girth. He wore a wooden peg on his right stump, hidden by the cuff of his trouser, and his gait was stiff as he climbed out of the carriage and ducked beneath the canopy. He hardly seemed the same person with that beard and wet, stringy hair. But his eyes, they were the same. More beady now because of the fuller cheeks, but still seething as he studied the crowd, as if he had been hit with a rock when he wasn't looking and now searched for the culprit.
Is Laryl inside the carriage?
Someone else moved inside, climbing out, but it turned out to be a lean man with a clean-shaven face and light tan eyes. The dignified man wore a neatly pressed green formal military uniform and had a sword at his hip.
High Marshal Amaram?
He certainly looked impressive, with that strong figure and square face. The difference between him and Roshan was striking. Finally, Laurel did appear, wearing a light yellow dress of an antique fashion, with a flaring skirt and thick bodice. She glanced up at the rain, then waited for a footman to hurry over with an umbrella. Kaladin felt his heart thumping. They hadn't spoken since the day she'd humiliated him in Roshan's mansion. And yet, she was gorgeous. As she had grown through her adolescence, she had gotten prettier and prettier. Some might find that dark hair sprinkled with foreigner blonde to be unappealing for its indication of mixed blood. But to Kaladin, it was alluring. Beside Kaladin, his father stiffened.
Stormfather.
What?
Laurel. She's wearing a bride's prayer on her sleeve.
Kaladin saw the white cloth with its blue glyph pair sewn into the sleeve of her dress. She'd burn it when the engagement was formally announced.
But who? Riller is dead.
I'd heard rumors of this. It appears Roshan wasn't willing to part with the connections she offers.
Him? Roshan himself is marrying her?
Light Eyes marry much younger women all the time. For them, marriages are often about securing house loyalty.
Him? We have to stop it. We have to...
Kaladin, but it is their affair, not ours.
Near Kaladin, a rainspren sprang up, forming as if out of the water. It stared upward, unblinking. Roshan leaned on his cane and nodded to Natir, his steward. The man was accompanied by his wife, a stern-looking woman named Alaxia.
Bright Lord Amaram is Absendiar, High Marshal of our princedom. He is in command of defending our borders while the king and Bright Lord Sadius are away.
Kaladin nodded. Everyone knew of Amaram. He was far more important than most military men who passed through Hearthstone. Amaram stepped forward to speak.
You have a fine town here. Thank you for hosting me. Normally, I would leave this task to one of my subordinate officers. But as I was visiting with my cousin, I decided to come down in person. It is not so onerous a task that I need delegate it.
Excuse me, Bright Lord, but what duty is that?
The questioner was Kellens, one of Hearthstone's farmers.
Why recruitment, good farmer?
Alaxia stepped forward with a sheet of paper strapped to a board.
The king took most of our armies with him on his quest to fulfill the Vengeance Pact. My forces are undermanned, and it has become necessary to recruit young men from each town or village we pass. I do this with volunteers, whenever possible. My fighting is not as glorious as the War for Vengeance, but it is our sacred duty to defend our lands. This tour will be for 4 years, and upon completing your duty, you will receive a war bonus equal to 1/10 your total wages. You may then return, or you may sign up for further duty. Distinguish yourself and rise to a high rank, and it could mean an increase of 1 non for you and your children. Are there any volunteers?
I'll go.
Jost stepped forward along with Abri.
Me too.
Jost's mother grabbed at his arm.
Jost, the crops...
Your crops are important, Dark Woman, but not nearly as important as the defense of our people. The king sends back riches from the plundered plains, and the gemstones he has captured can provide food for Alethkar in emergency. You two are both welcome. Are there any others?
Three more boys from the town stepped forward, and one older man, Harl, who had lost his wife to the scar fever. He was the man whose daughter Kaladin hadn't been able to save after her fall.
Excellent. Are there any others?
The townspeople were still. Oddly so. Many of the boys Kaladin had heard talk so often about joining the army looked away. Kaladin felt his heart beating and his leg twitched as if itching to propel him forward.
No. I'm to be a surgeon.
Liren looked at him, and his dark brown eyes displayed hints of deep concern. But when Kaladin didn't make any moves forward, he relaxed.
Very well. Cousin, we will need your list after all.
List!
Amaram glanced at Liren.
The need of our army is great, Darkborn. I will take volunteers first, but the army must be replenished. As City Lord, my cousin has the duty and honor of deciding which men to send.
Read the first four names, Alaxia. And the last one.
Aegil, son of Mar. Kol, son of Talib.
Kaladin looked up at Liren with apprehension.
He can't take you. We're of the second Nan and provide an essential function to the town. I as surgeon, you as my only apprentice. By the law, we are exempt from conscription. Rashun knows it.
Habrin, son of Arafik. Jorna, son of Lotz. Tien, son of Liren.
All eyes turned toward Tien. The boy looked dumbfounded. Liren was immune as town surgeon, Kaladin immune as his apprentice, but not Tien. He was a carpenter's third apprentice, not vital, not immune. Asena gripped Tien tightly.
No!
Liren stepped in front of them, defensive. Kaladin stood stunned, looking at Rashun. Smiling, self-satisfied Rashun.
We took his son. This is his revenge.
The military?
His eyes opened wide, and he grew very pale. He fainted when he saw blood. He hated fighting. He was still small and spindly despite his age.
He's too young!
In the cities, youths as young as 8 and 9 are accepted into the military.
Light-eyed sons! To be trained as officers! They aren't sent into battle!
Amaram frowned more deeply. He stepped out into the rain, walking up to the family.
How old are you, son?
He's 13!
You're the surgeon. I've heard of you.
I haven't the time to engage in your petty small-town politics, cousin. Isn't there another boy that will do?
It is my choice, given to me by the dictates of law. I send those the town can spare. Well, that boy is the first one we can spare.
Liren stepped forward, eyes full of anger. High Marshal Amaram caught him by the arm.
Do not do something you would regret, Darkborn. Rashun has acted according to the law.
You hid behind the law, staring at me, surgeon. Well, now it turns against you. Keep those spears. The look on your face at this moment is worth the price of every one of them.
Kaladin felt powerless. The crowd's eyes were on Liren, standing with his arm in the grip of the light-eyed general, locking his gaze with Rashun.
I'll make the lad a runner boy for a year or two. He won't be in combat. It is the best I can do. Every body is needed in these times.
Liren slumped, then bowed his head.
Ha!
Rashun motioned Laurel toward the carriage. She didn't glance at Kaladin as she climbed back in. Rashun followed. Amaram regarded the crowd.
The recruits may bring 2 changes of clothing and up to 3 stone weights of other possessions. They will be weighed. Report to the army in 2 hours and ask for Sergeant Hav.
Amaram turned and followed Rashun. Tien stared after him, pale as a whitewashed building. Kaladin could see his terror at leaving his family, his brother, the one who always made him smile when it rained. It was physically painful for Kaladin to see him so scared. It wasn't right. Tien should smile. That was who he was. He felt the wooden horse in his pocket. Tien always brought him relief when he felt pained. Suddenly, it occurred to him that there was something he could do in turn.
It's time to stop hiding in the room when someone else holds up the globe of light. It's time to be a man.
Bright Lord Amaram!
The general hesitated, standing on the step stool into the carriage, 1 foot in the door. He glanced over his shoulder.
I want to take Tien's place!
Not allowed! The law says I may choose!
Amaram nodded grimly.
Then what if you take me as well, Bright Lord?
Can I volunteer?
That way at least Tien won't be alone.
Kaladin!
It is allowed. I will not turn away any soldier, son. If you want to join, you are welcome.
Kaladin, no. Don't both of you go.
Kaladin looked at Tien, the boy's face wet beneath his wide-brimmed hat. He shook his head, but his eyes seemed hopeful.
I volunteer! I'll go!
Then you have 2 hours. Same possession allotment as the others.
The carriage door shut, but not before Kaladin got a glimpse of an even more satisfied Rishun.
Why? Why have you done this to me? After all of our plans!
Kaladin turned to Tien. The boy took his arm.
Thank you. Thank you, Kaladin. Thank you.
I've lost both of you. Storm it, both of you!
Father!
Liren paused, standing in the rain, 1 foot in a puddle where rain spren clustered. They inched away from him like vertical slugs.
In 4 years, I will bring him home safely. I promise it, by the storms and the Almighty's 10th name itself. I will bring him back.
I promise.